The Message, The Savior is Counting on You, by Elder Joe J. Christensen of the Presidency of the 70. A few years ago, following General Conference, our four-year-old grandson, Andrew, asked his mother, "Mommy, is Jesus counting on me?" His mother answered, "Oh yes, Andrew, Jesus is counting on you. He wants you to obey Mom and Dad, to do what is right, and especially to be kind to your little brother Benny." This four-year-old thought about that for a few moments and said, "Mommy, tell him not to count on me." Fortunately, by the time Andrew receives the Aaronic priesthood, he will have come to know that Jesus is counting on him. Let's consider three important ways in which the Lord is counting on you, young people of the church. The Savior is counting on you to be a champion of those who need you. In a high school in Utah, a young mentally handicapped student, we will call Frank, wanted so much to be accepted by the popular crowd. He would follow them around, always on the outside looking in, hoping to be included but never achieving it. One day in the cafeteria, some of the more popular boys and girls encouraged Frank to get up on the table and dance. Thinking he would please them, he did it. In his awkward way, he twisted and twirled. The group yelled, clapped their hands, and laughed. They were laughing at him, and Frank thought they were laughing with him. A few tables away, Dave was eating lunch with a friend and watching it all. He courageously leaped up, faced that crowd of tormentors, and through clenched teeth said, "I've had as much of this as I can stand." He helped Frank down and said, "Frank, you come and have lunch with us." At a 20-year high school reunion, one of the graduates had a surprising conversation with one of her classmates that went something like this. "I came to this reunion after all these years, hoping you would be here so I could thank you. My high school experience was hard for me. You may not have known it, but you were the only friend I had in high school. I wondered if maybe the seminary teacher had assigned you to be nice to me. Did he?" "No, he didn't assign me." "Well, you didn't know it, but every day I looked for you because I knew that you would talk to me. You made me feel better about myself. Now I am married and have a large family. During these past years, I have thought many times of what you meant to me, and I wanted to tell you that." There are those who wake up every morning dreading to go to school or even to a church activity because they worry about how they will be treated. You have the power to change their lives for the better. The Lord is counting on you to be a builder and give them a lift. Think less about yourself and more about the power you have to assist others, even those within your own family. A 14-year-old sister was all dressed up to go to a young women activity at a time in her life when she felt very unsure about herself. She was quietly and self-consciously inching her way toward the front door, hoping not to be noticed by all the young men in the living room who were visiting with her older brother Russell. She was given a life-changing boost when her older brother interrupted his conversation and said to her in front of all his friends, "My, Emily, you look pretty tonight." A small thing? No. There are young women who claim that they would not have made it through those growing up years without the encouragement and support of their older brothers. In 1996, in Salt Lake City, Zachary Snar was brutally and senselessly murdered. Among the many wonderful things said about him by family and friends was that he rarely missed a day without telling his mother how much he loved her. His cheerful and loving nature around their home leaves them with priceless memories. Your mothers need you to be a champion of them. Never should we, as church members, be guilty of saying anything discourteous or disrespectful to our mothers. Maybe you have thought that doing these little kindnesses doesn't make much difference. But as Alma said, "By small and simple things are great things brought to pass." Alma chapter 37, verse 6. We also read, "Be not weary in well-doing, for ye are laying the foundation of a great work." You are a great work in progress. "And out of small things proceedeth that which is great." Doctrine and Covenants, section 64, verse 33. The Savior is counting on you to avoid the immoral trash that surrounds you in the media. Satan has made great inroads into the lives of some Latter-day Saints through the evil in the media. A bishop reported that he had observed that the spiritual level of the young priesthood bearers in his ward was declining. through his personal interviews with them, he discovered that many of them were watching R-rated movies. When he asked them where they went to see such trash, they said, "We don't go anywhere. We watch them at home. We have cable television. And when our parents are gone, we watch anything we want to." It is very unreasonable to suppose that exposure to profanity, nudity, sex, and violence has no negative effects on us. We can't roll around in the mud without getting dirty. Some time ago, the Lord's Prophet, President Gordon B. Hinckley, shared with the youth and with all of us this clear and unmistakable counsel. Be clean. I cannot emphasize that enough. Be clean. It is so very, very important, and you at your age are in such temptation all the time. It is thrown at you on television. It is thrown at you in books and magazines and videos. You do not have to rent them. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Don't look at them. If somebody proposes that you sit around all night watching some of that sleazy stuff, you say, "It's not for me." Stay away from it. Denver, Colorado Youth Meeting, April 14, 1996. Temptations are all around us, and today, with the advent of the Internet, they are increasing. There is much that is positive in the world of the media, but there is so much that is negative. If we permit ourselves to become involved with the negative, there will be much more cause for the devil to laugh and his angels to rejoice. The Savior is counting on you to be worthy to enter the temple and to fill an honorable mission. By the time he was 14 years old, an acquaintance of mine was more than 6 feet tall and very uncoordinated. He said, "One afternoon when I was in a 10th grade seminary class, the Spirit really touched me. I came to know that the gospel literally was true. I made up my mind that day that I wanted to serve the Lord in any way I could." By his senior year, he was taller and much more coordinated. Many universities offered him scholarships to play basketball. After his first year playing at a university, he told his coach that he would like to be excused for 2 years to go on a mission. The coach said, "If you leave, you can be sure of one thing. You'll never again wear one of our basketball uniforms." Many thought his mission ought to be playing basketball. Even some family members, including his parents, tried to convince him not to serve a mission. But he was totally committed. He was willing to give everything to the Lord, the scholarship, the applause of the fans, and the excitement of playing. He knew what the Lord was counting on him to do. He was called, and he served an honorable mission. When he returned 2 years later, he was even taller and about 35 pounds heavier. His coach decided to repent. He was permitted to wear one of those basketball uniforms again, and in his senior year, his team not only won the conference championship, but went on to the finals in national competition. The Lord's commandment to his apostles was, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel," Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Modern prophets have taught that every young man who is physically and mentally able should prepare himself to serve an honorable mission. The Lord did not say, "Go on a mission if it fits your schedule, or if you happen to feel like it, or if it doesn't interfere with your scholarship, your romance, or your educational plans." Preaching the gospel is a commandment and not merely a suggestion. It is a blessing and a privilege and not a sacrifice. Young men, remember, even though for some of you there may be very tempting reasons not to serve a full-time mission, the Lord and his prophets are counting on you. All of you, the youth of the church, should be working to be worthy and humbly striving to prepare to make and keep the covenants of the temple. Go to the temple now to participate in baptisms for the dead, and in so doing, you will begin to feel the influence of the temple in your life. Prepare now for the additional blessings of the temple, such as the endowment and temple marriage, which should be among the greatest blessings of your future. More than ever before in my life, I know that Jesus is the Christ. This is his church, and it is led by living prophets. The Lord and his prophets are counting on you. End of The Message, The Savior is Counting on You, by Elder Joe J. Christensen of the Presidency of the 70. Comfort